You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. Glad you're with us. Be here every week. Tell your friends about us. I got to tell you, folks, there are so many things happening in Washington, D.C. under the new leadership of our country. It would be impossible if I had an hourly podcast to summarize it all. We're doing our best here at JDFI to keep you informed, but this is the difference between night and day. And it's not only on the issues that, of course, we're so identified with, the sanctity of life, defending the family, parental rights, educational choice, religious liberty, all very important things. But there's also a lot of things happening in our foreign policy that I think Christians, but all Americans, can applaud. And one of those things certainly is a rebirth, a re-strengthening of perhaps the most important alliance of all between the United States and the nation of Israel. Now, as Christians, we believe that this alliance has a theological basis. You know, we believe the Bible when it says that Abram ran into God in the desert, and God said to him, "I will be your God, and you will be my people, and he who blesses Israel I will bless, and he who curses Israel I will curse." But, you know, you don't have to be a Christian that believes that to believe that Israel and the United States standing together, that's important for the defense of Western civilization. So we want to talk about those things today. And I've asked my old friend, but also in many ways an old friend of the James Dobson Family Institute, Tom Rose, to join me to give us some of his thoughts on this. Tom, you may remember, was the publisher and CEO of the Jerusalem Post for a number of years, and also was a senior advisor in the Trump administration first term. And there are rumors in Washington, D.C. that perhaps Tom might be hanging around in the second term at some point, but we don't have anything to report on that today, I assume. But Tom, thank you for spending some time with us. You know, our listeners may remember you gave us some really dramatic reports from Israel during those horrible first months after the attack on October 7th, and we really appreciated that. And you gave us a perspective that it was hard to get anywhere else. But today, we happen to be having this conversation as President Trump is meeting with his first head of state in this second term of being president, and it's Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel. Share with us what the significance of that may be, but I guess more importantly, what is the difference between the Israel-U.S. alliance now and the pressure it was under the last 4 years under Biden and Harris?
I would think, Gary, and first of all, it's an absolute pleasure and honor to join you and all your listeners. I would say the difference is between the weather in Fairbanks, Alaska today and the weather down in sunny South Florida today. It couldn't be more dramatic. It couldn't be more distant. We had a relationship, the United States did, with Israel that was very contentious during the Biden years. If anything, it was designed primarily to restrain less the enemies of Israel than Israel itself. The Biden administration, the Obama administration, to an extent, even parts of the George Bush administration, clung almost religiously, Gary, to this belief that somehow these feral, vicious, horrific Islamist ideologues could somehow be domesticated if we only petted them properly, treated them properly, restrained Israel. I think President Trump has said and done more in 2 weeks to recalibrate and rebalance that relationship. That has been done, I think, unless you disagree, in 16 years. He had a moment yesterday during one of his already almost uncountable press encounters.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to describe. Yeah, our listeners would love to hear about it. It was a moment and so important.
He the president, what's unique and remarkable about President Trump is how common he is for the American people. Mm. What makes him so dramatically different from all the presidents that have preceded him is that he thinks like us. He thinks like regular people. In the White House, in the Oval Office, where the president does his work, there is a very large and famous desk called the Resolute Desk, which was originally used by Teddy Roosevelt.
That's right.
It's a huge desk. You've seen it. You've been in there many times. Very big, very expansive. And what the president said when talking about Israel, he didn't use a lot of fancy foreign policy, wonkish, inside the beltway language. He said, you see the top of this desk? That's the Middle East. And then he picked up a felt pen, a Sharpie, and he said, you see this Sharpie? This is Israel compared to this Resolute Desk. Worse than that. And then he takes the pen and he drops most of it behind the end of the desk and says, the tip of this pen is Israel compared to the Middle East. And yet in this tiny country with no natural resources, they have brain power and ingenuity and entrepreneurial spirit and a sense of collective defense and security that makes it an envy of the world. And the press, of course, couldn't believe this, how outrageous it was. It was terrible. It was, you know, disrespectful of the poor Palestinians. He's not a wonk, right? But he's better than that because he has common sense.
Well, no. That was, I'm glad you, I almost forgot about that already. So many things are happening. But it reminded me, Tom, of a moment that I had in the first Trump administration where I led a group of pro-Israel Christians like Dr. Dobson and others, and we were invited into the Oval Office, and I was assigned to speak for everybody to encourage the president for being so pro-Israel. So I walked up next to the Resolute Desk where he was seated, and I said to him, Mr. President, we like a lot of the things you're doing, but what you're doing on Israel, we just want to encourage you. You know, your plan to move the embassy and so forth. And he walked, listened to me intently. When I was finished, he said, Gary, that was so nice. Could you do me a favor? Now, what would you say, Tom? Well, of course, Mr. President, I'd be happy to do you a favor. And he said, could you just go out in the Rose Garden there and brief the White House media on what you just told me? He said, we haven't thrown him any red meat today. So I said, oh, so I'm the red meat, Mr. President. Okay. So, you know, you have a staff that does that. And he goes, yeah, Gary, but, you know, you've got experience. It was so Trumpian, right? And I did it. And of course, the media was terrible.
No, you know, it's funny. And I don't mean to diverge, but at his rallies, no politician ever would do this. He calls up random people to come speak at his yes. rallies. He stands aside. The random person says a thing or two. He does that all the time, every time. He trusts the American people. He loves the American people. He's not afraid of them. They don't need to be coddled. They don't need to be protected from information. He shares it. That's what makes him so positive and so valuable. And this meeting today, I would love to be a fly on the wall, although I did have the honor and privilege of sitting in on many of the Trump and Netanyahu meetings during the first term. They get along famously. And Trump just has a way of immediately, there's no artifice, there's no guile. You've seen it, Gary.
Yes,
the American people see it. He goes straight into it. I mean, there's no pleasantry. There's no, I mean, he's polite, but he goes straight into the issue. And the issue they're going to talk about today are three things: releasing the remaining hostages, which is Israel's number one objective, defeating Hamas, which is going to be a problem because of the deal that was signed. And the major issue, the big issue, of course, is going to be Iran.
Right. And Iran is, of course, a threat to Israel, also to Europe, whether Europe fully realizes it or not, and to the United States.
Bingo.
And, you know, the amazing thing, Tom, is you know, Jews get criticized for bringing their faith into how they think about Israel. You know, how dare you bring the Old Testament up or the Torah up? You know, Christian Zionists are those of us that are Christians and love the Jewish people and believe God wants us to bless the Jewish people. We're attacked because of our interpretation of our Bible. But when you've got a government in Iran that is conducting its foreign policy because they believe they have an Islamic obligation to kill all the Jews in order to pay, and Christians, to pave the way for their Messiah to come. So that is the nation that is using religion for horrible purposes, whereas the United States and Israel use our faiths to stand for the values of Western civilization.
You know, I don't know whether your listeners, because you're too modest to have ever brought this up, whether your listeners are aware of an interesting thing that happened in early 2017, the first Trump administration, and then again now following the election. Gary Bauer was a top-tier candidate to become U.S. ambassador to Israel. I think because his phone was off and he didn't return a bunch of calls because he was watching Redskins games, the call instead this time went to Mike Huckabee. But Gary Bauer was a top shelf selection choice for potential U.S. ambassadors to Israel. I think Bauer would have been absolutely phenomenal. He would have been sensational. But then again, he wouldn't have been able to watch his beloved Redskins every week.
Friends, you need to understand, Tom has a very bizarre sense of humor.
I'm serious.
Talking about the reason you're citing that I was watching a Redskin game, which are now, by the way, called the Washington Commanders.
Tom, right. That is correct.
Okay. Well, that's very kind for you to say. So, Tom, one of the things that happened as soon as Trump came back into office was he got rid of the restrictions in weapons that we had promised Israel in the past, but we were holding them back and trying to browbeat them to not finish the job in Gaza. That's correct, isn't it?
And lying about it.
Yes.
And lying about it repeatedly, that there were no arms embargo. The former Israeli ambassador to the United States, who just returned to Israel a week, 10 days ago, a former top general in the Israeli army, Mike Herzog, who you may have met, I've met many times. His brother is the president of Israel. They're kind of like the Kennedy family of Israel, if there is a royalty. They're liberals. They're on the left. He was very well behaved and very polite while he was ambassador. But Gary, the Israeli media is now a flutter over the fact that finally Mike Herzog is just letting go now that he's off the payroll about the unbelievable arms embargoes that the U.S. imposed upon Israel as it waged this existential fight against a suicidal, genocidal terrorist organization.
Let me just correct one thing. You're correct factually, but it really wasn't the U.S. It was the sad leadership that we had that was putting these restrictions on that most of the American people would be mortified if they actually understood that was what was happening.
That's an excellent point, because the American people, as you and I have liked to joke in the past, the American people in poll after poll after poll are more pro-Israel than Israelis are.
Yes.
But the arms embargoes that the White House denied emphatically for almost 13 months included everything from 155-millimeter artillery rounds, hundreds of thousands of those, spare parts for artillery pieces, for armored vehicles, these bulldozers that are designed to protect civilians by clearing areas for the IDF to operate so they're not sniped. The residents of the building are cleared, and then the buildings have to be torn down so there can be a line of sight for an Israeli field operation. Those were embargoed. Bombs, pieces of smart bombs, these so-called JDAMs, again, built and designed to minimize civilian casualties and hit specific terror targets, they were withheld. The 2,000-pound bombs to take out tunnels were withheld. And what's happening in Israel today, Gary, is that Mike Herzog, this placid, peaceful, you've met him. I know you've met him.
Yes.
I think I've been with you when you met. Very nice, delightful guy who would never say anything offensive to anybody, has just unloaded on the Biden administration in the last 48 hours.
You know, I had not heard some of that. It's great for you to share that with our listeners. You know, all these foreign policy issues are very difficult to sort out, particularly when we have a media that basically lies about so many issues, and foreign policy is one of them. But as you and I have talked about, and everybody at JDFI understands this, America is probably the most pro-Israel nation in the world, I think, major nation. And in the United States, Christians are the most pro-Israel segment of our population. That explains why we haven't gone down the same road that Europe's gone down. And that brings me to the other thing I wanted to talk to you about. When the horrible attack took place against the massacre, really, by Hamas on October 7th, 2023, we talked about it at the time, the horror. I don't even really want to repeat the things that were done to little babies and old people. I mean, murders, rapes. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. Something inexplicable and disturbing happened here in the United States, which was in the wake of that attack, there was this raw eruption of anti-Semitism, not on Main Street America, but in several big cities, but significantly, I think, on one of the bulwarks of the American left, the universities of America. Some of the most disgusting things happened. Slogans that were chanted, Jewish students beaten, Jewish students hiding in their dorm rooms in fear, something I thought I'd never see in America. And Tom, give a little bit of reaction to that, because, you know, we've had anti-Semitism in the past, you know, country clubs that wouldn't let a Jew be a member. We've never had something like this. This was a totally different category of hatred.
You and I have talked about this in the past on other programs, and including the JDFI segments that you're kind enough to invite me on. American Jews were an interesting breed. We came here primarily in the late 19th century, early 20th century. I know that's the story of my family, millions of others. And by and large, the horrific, horrendous, awful history of the 20th century for Jews outside of America skipped us here. So we never really lived the 20th century the way other Jews did, through Holocausts, expulsions, torture, mayhem, murder, the establishment of a Jewish state, the boycotts, the constant wars. We always thought in America that anti-Semitism was not being invited to a fancy dinner club or having to stay in a different hotel. That's not anti-Semitism. That's bigotry, okay? We all have, Americans have never experienced in 250 years true anti-Semitism until October 8th. What was October 8th? The day after some horrendous Jewish atrocity? No. It was the day after the worst atrocity against Jews since the Holocaust. America in 250 years has never seen an explosion of hatred, blood-curdling hatred, the likes of which we've seen in the past year. And thank God for President Trump, who's signed two executive orders, 13-899 that he signed in 2019 that Joe Biden never followed up on, never implemented, totally ignored. He strengthened that with an addendum to it on his second or third day in office, which now says every department within the U.S. government needs to present to me, the president, within 60 days, a complete list of all actions you're taking to protect Jews, particularly Jewish students on college campuses, where they're being discriminated against, prevented from actually going to class, harassed, intimidated. It's a unique experience for America. We've never been there before. Europe has seen it, of course. And in a way, it's, again, a testament to how special, how blessed, how noble, how unique this country has been, that it's been immunized from what I believe George Bernard Shaw once called the world's oldest hatred.
Yeah, you know, Tom, that's exactly what I wanted people to learn about, that this is, again, it's not a side issue for Trump. You know, he's been, interestingly, he's been accused of being anti-Semitic. He's the most anti-Semite that you can come up with, right?
I mean, this is an Alice in Wonderland world.
It is. So the Department of Education, now under the new leadership of the Trump administration, just this week opened up investigations of Columbia University, Northwestern University, Portland State University, the University of California at Berkeley, and the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities, for anti-Semitism in violation of several federal statutes being tolerated on their campuses, anti-Semitic violence, discrimination, and so forth. And people are going to be held accountable. And Tom, I was particularly happy because I believe it was at Berkeley just in the last week, a Chinese national student attending the university on a student visa was expelled from the university and sent back to China by the United States government because this young woman was leading the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel demonstrations on her university campus. That's not going to be tolerated anymore for somebody that is a guest in our country.
Well, part of this executive order, if you don't mind me reading a sentence of this 13-899 addendum that the president signed earlier this week, quote, to all resident aliens who joined the pro-jihadist protests, we put you on notice. Come 2025, we will find you, we will arrest you, we will deport you. I will also quickly cancel any student visa of any Hamas sympathizer on college campuses, which now have been infested with radicalism like never before. That's tough talk from a guy that means business.
Absolutely. Well, Tom, this has been fantastic. We can always count on you when it comes to these issues to make yourself available. And I know how many other things you're doing on a daily basis. And I sure hope that sometime soon I can tell the audience at the JDFI that Tom Rose has re-entered the federal government and dealing with some of the issues that we care so much about. And Tom, I always say this to you, but I'm going to repeat it again. There are millions of Christians that love the Jewish people and stand with the nation of Israel. That doesn't mean that we any more than Jewish Americans will support everything an Israeli government does. But in the big picture, we know who the good guys are in the Middle East, and we also know what our Bible says, and we know what the history of our own faith is in the Middle East. We know that the Jews were in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria because our Lord and Savior's ministry was there. And if you weren't there, which is what your enemies want to try to convince people, then Christ wasn't there either. So we're connected at the heart. We have the same values, the two nations and the two people, but our histories are also connected in a way that I think has great theological significance. So thank you for all you do in helping the Jewish people understand and Israelis understand that their best friends in America are, in fact, the followers of Jesus Christ.
Well, God bless you and God bless all the JDFI listeners. Your support, your prayers, your advocacy are absolutely indispensable to the relationship between the United States and Israel, which redounds to us both and will make America stronger again.
Mm, well said, Tom. Well, folks, thanks for being here this week at Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, this podcast of the James Dobson Family Institute. Be sure to tune in every chance you get, and we'll try to bring you more news and information that Christian citizens need in order to be effective in the public square. God bless you all.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.